Welcome to Africa Now. Today's show features controversy in the general election in Mozambique. Africa Now is next. Welcome to the show. I'm Wiza Muntali. The music in the background is Yarabi by Sona Jobate. And we play that commemorating her birthday, which was October 17. First, I just want to thank the listeners for supporting Don't Forget the Blues with Clarence the Bluesman Turner today during our fall pledge drive. Our goal for this hour is $500. Called 800-222-9739. That's 800-222-9739. Or visit WPFWFM.org and go to the Donate Now button, scroll down to Africa Now. That's WPFWFM.org. And also you can pledge your support for Africa Now and WPFW at the Cash App, which is the $ at WPFWFM. That's the Cash App is the $ WPFWFM. So that we can reach our goal this hour of $500 and go beyond, so to make up the shortfall from last week. The community's continuous support over the years has made it possible for us to be able to be an independent grassroots media outlet. That's from October 14th to November 3rd, where we celebrate the Circle Unbroken, 47 years of being in community with WPFW during our fall pledge drive. We invite you to continue to be in community and in solidarity with us by making a donation to ensure that this independent grassroots media outlet not only survives, but thrives. Call today, 800-222-9739. That's 800-222-9739, or visit WPFWFM.org. That's WPFWFM.org. And you can also pledge your support to Africa Now and WPFW at the Cash App, which is the $ WPFWFM. That's the Cash App, which is the $ WPFWFM. And write in the memo that is for Africa Now. And again, our goal is $500. We need to reach $500 and beyond today. It is with your generous support that we continue to build a better world, one broadcast at a time. On October 9, Mozambicans went to the polls to vote in the general election. Citizens were voting for members of the National Assembly and the new president, as current President Filipe Nyusi of the governing FLIMO, or Mozambican Liberation Front Party, a term expires this year. Preliminary results indicate that FLIMO candidate Daniel Chapo is leading. The final tally will be released on October 24. Civil society groups and opposition parties have complained of voting irregularities. Tensions have also risen recently after the killing of a member of the opposition, Podemos, which is the optimist party for the development of Mozambique, and the party's lawyer. Podemos presidential candidate Venancio Modlan called for a nationwide strike on Monday, October 21st. During the protest, police clashed with demonstrators. Recently, I had a discussion with Estacio Veloy, an investigative journalist based in Mozambique, and he is with the Center for Investigative Journalism, CIJ. In the discussion, he dissected the election in Mozambique. The conversation dissected the candidates involved, the disputed electoral process, the role of the youth, the role of multinational extractive companies, insecurity, human rights issues, and more. Here is the conversation. Estacio Veloy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for the invitation and to talk about this sensitive issue of electoral process in Mozambique.
And thanks also for taking the time out of your hectic schedule to be with us. And I wanted to you to begin just giving us a brief update on the environment in Mozambique, almost 2 weeks after the elections that took place on October 9.
The current situation is that we had demonstrations today as the presidential candidate from Podemos, Venancio Mondlane, had called before. So the demonstration took place in Maputo, almost in the entire county, where public and private activities were suspended. In the morning, you could see the streets completely empty. People were in the houses or were in demonstration. And of course, the demonstration was exactly to claim for justice on the electoral process and also on the gun down of the two Mozambican Podemos members, lawyer Elvino Dias and Paulo Guambe. And of course, as usual, was a confrontation which was started by the police, which started shooting tear gas to the demonstrators. Demonstrators with no stones in their hands, they were not carrying stones, and they were not carrying any weapon. And they were shooting gas straight to the crowd, including journalists as well. Then, of course, they had to run away from the OMM Square in the Maputo capital. But where the demonstrations a little bit almost in the entire count. But according to Venancio, the result, the aim of the demonstration was achieved because about 95% of the activities were completely suspended. And this was the first demonstration from the four demonstrations which they are going to keep doing in order to try to revert the current stage on the electoral process.
And when you say the demonstrations today, that's today, October the 21st, right? Monday, October the 21st, that the demonstrations are taking place, right?
Yes, the demonstration took place today, as I was saying, as a result of a massive fraud, which was the ongoing electoral process in Mozambique, with the polling stations, some open late, ballot being inserted inside the ballot box, mainly in favor of the Frelimo part and his presidential candidate. And we had this happened almost everywhere. Some of ballots went missing, some of ballots were taken by the police. So it was a massive fraud in all the sense. And you look to the results which are being shown by the Mozambican Electoral Commission, where Frelimo and his candidate have a majority almost in the entire count. But if we compare this information or the data with the data presented, example, by Center for Public Integrity, are completely different. And in some place you could even see the numbers which were shown that Venancio is had the advantage and they was leading the process, then suddenly all changed. And we are here looking to a scenario where all these issues, it's mainly created by those which were supposed to guarantee free and fair election, the government. So by having all these, you end up creating violence, and not the people creating violence, but the government. And we're talking about a place where the people are completely tired, election in election, and they'll end up having the same results, where we see the ruling part, which is the current government in Mozambique, stealing votes for the people. So we end up in this situation, as I was saying before, the demonstration which was held this morning.
Yeah, and if we could also, I think we'll unwind for those of people who haven't been following. If you could talk about the people who, I mean, the who was participating in the demonstrations. You mentioned Venancio, that's the opposition, that's Venancio Mondala, who was the leading candidate from the opposition, but the, and then the Frelimo, the party that's been in power since 1975. They had a new candidate who was younger. I think the youngest. He's the youngest member they've ever had to be who was running for the elections. And yeah, if you could go over who was running and some of the parties involved, so that people have a clear understanding of why people have been demonstrating. Yeah, so we can start from then and unpack the situation.
Yeah, we have four main political parties, which is Frelimo, Renamo, MDM, and Podemos. Podemos, which is currently in the second position, which is Podemos for Venancio Mondlane, the main opposition in Mozambique at this moment. And where there are also other parts, some of the parts were there only to get money and had no real, how could I say, impact on it. So the race was exactly mainly between these four parts, or I could say between Frelimo and Podemos. And where, if we look at the scenario, Venancio had.
Oh, sorry. You said between Frelimo and Podemos. Podemos.
Podemos from
Venancio. But that's Venancio Mondlane, right?
Mondlane.
Mondlane, yeah. And
Venancio Mondlane, where was a tight race, and as I was saying, according to the parallel poll or vote, which were being counted by some of the organization, he was winning. But suddenly came the parallel results, or not final results, from the government party, because CNN seems like a wing of the Mozambican main party for him, the same way as the Constitutional Council, which they've been backing for the election. If we look to the municipalities in 2023, and if we look also to another election which took place in Mozambique, happened the same thing. And these institutions have no longer credibility. Nobody believes in these institutions, because of what they've been perpetrating, not only inciting violence, but also create scenarios where people are forced to go out to the streets and demonstrate, looking for their rights, trying to have a really counter or democracy in Mozambique, which is not allowed by the current regime, as we can see. So all what they've been saying in the meetings, that Mozambique do respect human rights, fair election, and so on. In fact, that's not true.
And again, that's Estacio Valoy. He is a journalist based in Mozambique. He's with the Center for investigative journalism, and we're dissecting the recent election in Mozambique. And as you're talking about the parties and also how people in Mozambique now don't have the trust in the institutions that conduct the elections, if you could refresh our audience, if you could refresh, yeah, give us a remind us of this elections was the presidential, provincial, as well as National Assembly, right?
No, yes, exactly. We had four main parts, which is the Frelimo part, Podemos. Frelimo part for the presidential with Daniel Chapo. We had Podemos, where you have Venancio running for the presidential, Podemos for the assembly, with MDM also running for this process, with Renamo, with also for Momad, also running for both the presidents and the assembly. And Renamo was the second major part in Mozambique, but since Renamo have been also backing Frelimo and not demonstrating or not showing satisfaction, I mean dissatisfaction about the results of the election, they came as a kind of joint venture with Frelimo part. And Renamo is now, for the first time in history of this country, in the third position, and far away from Venancio Mondlane, which, if we look to the current result, not final result, they're still counting, Venancio Mondlane is in the second position, and I'm in the third position. And of course, this is not going to change.
And as you mentioned that Renamo is, you're saying that Renamo now is, seems to be, they're supporting the Frelimo, which is a big shock because for those who have studied Mozambican history and also the movement, liberation struggle in Southern Africa, we have to remind folks that Renamo is was the former group that was backed by apartheid South Africa and then the Rhodesian white minority regime in Rhodesia at the time fighting against Frelimo, which was the liberation group, which is interesting now that Renamo seems to be, is there an alliance between Renamo and Frelimo?
Yeah, it's an alliance between these two parts. Mainly was, Osufu Momade was benefiting from not only money, but other goods. As a president in the second position, and he has to receive several benefits, and end up accommodating himself, end up even destroying his own part because he was receiving, I think, 70 million mets per year, if I'm not wrong. So,
what is that? Sorry, what is that in dollars?
I have no idea how much.
Yeah, 70 billion. The mets, which is the Mozambican currency, right?
Yeah. So, he ended up undermining his own party. As we remember, Venancio was there, end up leaving, created its own party, CAD, which is then associated. Then he ended up associating to Podemos. So all those benefits which Osuf Momad was getting will no longer have it because they are no longer in the second position. So end up losing not all as a president of Renamo, because are people calling him, they want to sack him. And also his part, it's out of the usual ranking because people no longer trust Renamo. That's why we see Renamo in the third position.
Welcome to Africa Now. I'm your host, Moise Muntali. Right now, we're focusing on the general election in Mozambique, the controversy in the general election in Mozambique. And the voice you just heard was Estácio Valoi, who is an investigative journalist based in Mozambique. He's with the Center for Investigative Journalism. And that was about the election, which took place on October 9th, where Mozambicans went to the polls to elect members of the National Assembly and a new president as the current president's term expires, Frelimo. And we're able to do this because of your continued support. We're able to get people right there on the ground. We have Estácio Valoi, who's a renowned reporter there in Southern Africa, in Mozambique in particular. And all that happens because we're able to have you support us. So you've been doing this for the last 47 years. And as you know, we're in the midst of our fall pledge drive, and we wanted to celebrate the Circle Unbroken 47 years of being in community with WPFW. It's because of your support over these years. You've enabled us to be an independent grassroots media outlet that not only survives but thrives. And it's a testament to your support. Is Estácio Valoi, who's right there on the ground as a community activists in terms of as a journalist digging stories in Mozambique and story voices you wouldn't hear on the corporate media. And again, to support us today, we have our goal of $500. You can call 800-222-9739. The number again is 800-222-9739. 9739. And you can also make your support on our website, which is wpfwfm.org. Go to the Donate Now button, scroll down to Africa Now to pledge your support for Africa Now and WPFW. That's wpfwfm.org. And also there's the Cash App, which is the $WPFWFM. The Cash App is the $WPFWFM, and make sure you write it's for Africa Now, and also put your email so we're able to contact you and record it accordingly. And because of your generous support, that we are able to build a better world one broadcast at a time. And this is not just a slogan, but it's in fact. I mean, as you heard my colleagues earlier, we've I had. In the past few months, attacks on our websites and cyber attacks and other issues. But because we're able to get community support, we are able to continue to be broadcasting because we're not beholden to any entity. Our marching orders come directly from the community and the people that are in the station, my colleagues, who are fellow programmers, people who are of the community and by the community and deal with issues right there in the community. And as you heard earlier on, you had We the People looking at the history of the Black stories and in Washington, D.C., the Black histories. And later on this afternoon, you'll hear stories from Northern Africa and the Middle East. Particularly as it pertains to the plight of Palestinians by Zain Al-Amin, who has been covering the issue continuously, not just right now as the Gaza is decimated and the onslaught, the genocide against the Palestinian people there, but he's been focusing on those issues for many, many years. And of course, here at Africa Now, we cover the whole African world. Not just the continent, but we look at issues in Haiti, issues in Colombia, Brazil, wherever, United States, as it pertains to people of African descent. And for stories which are not amplified, magnified, like stories last week, we looked at community organizers in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And of course, this past weekend, if you were able to go to an event that we had in support of WPFW and the Friends of the Congo, that highlighted some of the grassroots work of community organizers right there in the Congo, helping women in the Congo. And it's because this happens only because this station is committed to the community, by the community, for the community. And that's only happens because you have been there for 47 years supporting the station, whether it's with your funds or with volunteering in other ways. And again, we're reaching out to you today. We need $500 to go. We have about 40 minutes to do that. So call 202-588-9739 or 800-222-9739. And again, the website is wpfwfm.org. The website is wpfwfm.org. And the Cash App is the $WPFW. Our goal is actually $500. We are close to the goal, but we still need more people. And I just want to thank Anonymous and Severin. So we still have, and then also Anonymous and Bowie and Alex Chantony in Silver Spring. And we still have $100 to go. And all we need is maybe one person or two people, $50 each, and you can do that, sustain a membership, or four people, $25 each. Whatever you put in will be very helpful. Again, go to the website, wpfwfm.org, donate, go to the Donate Now button, and support Africa Now and WPFW. We're going to go back to the conversation about the controversy of the general election in Mozambique with Estacio Valoy.
We have several people supporting Potemkin and Avenaj, and also by looking to his electoral manifest.
And then also in Frelimo, I mean, this is a very interesting turn of events, because I mean, Renamo was seen. For those of us who are in the, you know, in the movement in Southern Africa, Renamo was seen as the one which is destabilizing the country and for all those years, and now all of a sudden you have this alliance with Frelimo. It was a very interesting turn of events. The other thing that I wanted you to unpack is within Frelimo, of course, the Nyusi was the leader who's. His term has expired, so he's not running. And then you have Daniel Campo. He's the youngest candidate in Mozambique in history and running for president. He's the first presidential candidate to be running born after independence.
Yes, you are right about it. Daniel Campo is the youngest president, but. The scenario will somehow remain the same, because it is necessary to create, to have a new Mozambique, because all the base, all the towers are already damaged. So it's not having Daniel Chap where the things are going to change. If we had a balance in the parliament, that will be good. But this is what Frelimo and all this fraud have been avoiding to have. Apart of it, will just simplify whether Frelimo, which did struggle against the Portuguese settlement, and now they're doing the same in kind of a neo-colonialism. And now the people are doing the same thing what they did against the Portuguese. So they became a kind of slave masters. And the people are tired of all this scenario, which has been happening for about 49 years, I mean, fifth of independence. And we still lack of jobs, industry, hospital with no medicine, no drugs. So it's a chaos. And still have a small elite controlling all the system and are benefiting for all the millions or billions which Mozambique example have been producing when we talk example about mining which end up being given to the multinational exchange of peanuts, which end up at the pockets of this small elite. So this election was exactly to change all this scenario. And of course, Frelimo did try in different ways to curb all this election or to play in their favor. They were doing it openly. So, do you remember, I think was a cortege for SIP by saying that, yeah, this was a magic. I mean, a magic the way how the result for 1 minute had the Venancio leading, then another minute Chapo was leading with high votes. So we end up having all this scenario.
The candidacy of Chapo, Daniel Chapo, who was a governor one time as well, and is also a lawyer, right? Was that also an aim for the Mozambican government that's there now and governing the Frelimo party? Was it an attempt for them to also reach out to the youth, because the youth are the big block in the country?
Yes, it's true that this is what they were trying to do in order to reach the youth, but people are completely tired. And if you look to the youth, talk about youth with 20, 18, 30 years old, let's say we'll talk about people until 14, which has nothing with all the independence process. We are born after. And what they're looking for is to have a food in the table, have a education, school, I mean, so about the petition, be employed and be able to do their own life, which they haven't been allowed or given this opportunity. And of course, Chapo could not have these people supporting him, looking to his electoral light, let's say. And above all, it's looking to what Frelimo hasn't done all these years. So all the youth, the majority, and including some people, even from Frelimo party at the end of the day, they end up voting for Venancio, because they want change. They are tired of all the situation. So Venancio could not have all these youth voting for him, because he represents Frelimo, and that the people no longer want Frelimo ruling the country.
And of course, Venancio is the opposition of Podemos. He's now with Podemos, right?
Yes, Podemos.
Yeah, that's Venancio Mondlane.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And just to make sure the folks who are listening can follow us properly. And as you said, the youth population, one of the issues, of course, is an unemployment, high unemployment.
Yeah, not all high unemployment, it's everything. When they don't have access to good education or to education, unemployment, account bill being ripped off by this minority, the Mozambican elite. You have all the roads. Almost no industries, almost everything you look, it's completely, let's say, not destroyed, because some of things do not exist. But there's no development when we talk about economic and social issue, and the people want to eat.
Yeah, and one of the things that you had mentioned earlier as you were talking was the neo-colonialism, which also brings to attention extractive minerals industries. We had conversation with you before about Cabo Delgado, that area where you have multinational corporations extracting gas. If you could talk a bit more about how that has impacted as well the economy, how the role of these multinational corporations who are extracting minerals and how it's affected the country.
Example, yesterday in the mining concession of Jam Fields was not a strike, but according to people or to the artisanal miners on the ground, some they say we are 3,000, some they say they were 800. They jump over the concession around the night until next morning. They were digging for rubies, and the confrontation, not the confrontation, they were somehow was a confrontation because the protection police end up running, and some soldiers as well. Then they had a backup of other soldiers wearing a red beret. So these are the ones who end up expelling these 800 or 2,000 people, where according to them, seven, ten people were dead, were beaten up by militaries using stones, some were shot. And we are talking about a place where this kind of violence has been taking place, and where these people, despite having not all MIM, Gemfield mining concession, there's also fuel there, there's also gemstone, which end up stealing concession from the communities. There's gold in that side as well, but graphite as well, but all these do not benefit the locals. If you look to the rubies, 75% of the company belongs to the English, only 25% to the Mozambican. And this Mozambican, this small group of people, okay, Gemfields does contribute in terms of tax paying. We look to Fua, mainly contribute not with the tax. And it's also 75% of the mining concession which belongs to Fuhr, which somehow is associated to Gemfields. So all these mining, then we have a gas in another side. So all these, the money end up not staying in the count, end up going out of the count. If you look to this place, they have no schools, no jobs. All these youth, they wake up in the morning. The agriculture is difficult, low rain, and for them to feed their kids or to eat, they end up going to the concessions to dig for rubies as a way of surviving. So you look to the fishery process as well, you see that the generals have been also wiping out. So at the end of the day, all these mining concessions and so on are completed in the hand of the multinationals, generals, ministers, administrators. So these are the ones which end up giving all these to these multinationals, which are here only to profit, while the people from the government are getting peanuts, destroying the country. So this is why we're having, coming back to the election issues, this is why also this election process, the youth came out in full power to demonstrate that they want to change. They want all these things to be here and they benefit the count. And of course, by benefiting the count, benefits all society, because we do have a capacity of creating industries. We have a capacity of having all this money benefiting Mozambican citizen. Unfortunately, until now, all these benefits small group of elites.
And then also small group of elite also benefiting the corporations. And I was also going to, I wanted you also to expand a bit more on how that affects, like in the up north, which has traditionally been marginalized, the Cabo Delgado area, where you have these multinational corporations, they're getting the gas extraction. And but how's that affected also that area? Because that's also the area where you have insurgency groups over there as well. The impact of that province in those provinces up in that area.
Yeah, when we say the forgotten Cabo Delgado, we're talking exactly about the place where you're from one side to another side of the province. We have a fishery, tourism, mining. I mean, we have here more than 17 different minerals. And those minerals are not benefiting the province. Even some of them, they do pay taxes outside the province. We're talking about, this year, during the last 10 years, mainly five, where the ongoing president news was ruling the count, Mozambique, the level of poverty increased to 75%, if I'm not wrong.
He's an investigative journalist in Mozambique. He's talking about the controversy surrounding the general elections, which took place on October 9th in Mozambique. And also with me in the studio is Katia Stitt, who actually knows Estacio Valoy very well. And I have to thank her. I don't know if she remembers that she introduced me to Estacio Valoy a number of years ago when he was in the U.S. And so thank you again, Katia.
You're quite welcome. And in the studios of WPFW, I believe you all met there.
Yeah, so she is the program director. So you see all the behind-the-scenes things that she does. She's not just on the radio on Wednesdays from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. and doing but she does all these amazing things, connecting the programmers with people and working tirelessly every day to ensure that we do live up to the mantra of being a community station. Katia? So.
Well, thank you for having me with you today, Muiza. And I'm just, I was so thrilled when I saw that Estacio was going to be the guest, because he is one of the leading African journalists. And on the ground, of course, there was Abbas Abbas. He was the first one that told me about Abbas Abbas, who brought down some crazy number of judges, like 38. Judges or something in Ghana, and they are colleagues, and there is this network of African journalists, and again, like we see in Palestine, doing work that endangers them, but to make sure that they get out the truth about what's happening to the people. I believe Estacio has also been detained. Fortunately, he was let go. This was up in Cabo Delgado one time. There were two journalists detained. They let Estacio go, but the other journalists they kept for much longer, and so this is dangerous work, but it is the kind of work that connects us to what is really happening on the continent in the same way that Muiza Muntali and James Pope connect us to what's happening on the continent through Africa Now every Wednesday afternoon. And we're doing so beautifully this afternoon. You know, we have $100 still to go, and you can get us to that goal by calling 800-222-9739, an easy lift of $100 left to go. We can, of course, exceed the goal. You know, you can pledge $10, $20, $50, $100 a month. That would help us to exceed the goal. You can also pledge $5 if that is what it is in your heart and your wallet to do. all amounts we are humbled by and we appreciate. We do want to make the goal today. You can go online to do that at WPFWFM.org. But what we're hearing today is the kind of reporting, the kind of journalism, the level, the high quality of journalism that you've come to expect from Africa Now, yeah. Africa Now, and from Mwiza Mentale, who, by the way, is very humble, but does so much beyond the studios of WPFW, connecting the African world to the people here in the Washington metropolitan area. And we thank him and James Pope for their service in doing that. So this is your opportunity to help connect, keep Africa connected to our listeners by supporting Africa Now. 800-222-9739, or you can go online to WPFWFM.org. Only $100 to go, and we will have made the goal, Mwiza. Very exciting.
Yeah, and also I just want to remind people that we have Cash App, which is the dollar sign, WPFWFM. And just make sure you notice for Africa Now, and also put your email address or contact number so that we can properly identify you and acknowledge you. And I think we'll go back to the discussion. And I just want to acknowledge my colleagues at Africa World Now Project Collective, Dr. Tasmin Siddiqui, Dr. Keisha Khan Perry, Dr. Josh Myers, and Kurt Erdison, and also our research fellow volunteers, Chanda Kozer and Funangonda, and our engineers here at WPFW, Claire Chapman and Michael Nisella. So it takes a whole community to put this show together. And of course, my colleague, executive producer and co-host James Pope. We're going to go back to a bit of the conversation with Estacio Valoy, investigative journalist in Mozambique, about the election in Mozambique.
So Cap Delgado did not improve. If we talk about business, some of the businessmen end up closing the business, some they left and associate with the terrorism as well. So is still forgotten, even with the alleged plan or to try the attempt of boot the system, economic social system here, we're still miles away of achieving it, because the roots need to be changed. When I'm saying about the roots need to be changed, it's all the political system or the political economic system, as I was saying, which is exactly the hand of these people, the multinationals and the ruling party members and so on, and that there's no equal distribution.
And so that's affected, that did it affect the turnout in those areas, the insurgency groups and other, imagine in those areas, what was the voter turnout in those areas?
Was also one of the causes, wasn't the main cause, many issues on this, but was one of the main causes also, because some of them end up accommodated themselves, let's say, some with the promise of the better life and so on. It's like, was like, let's say, like praying for God, looking for hope.
I was wondering, what was the voter turnout there in up north? Was it, did people come out to vote for change, you think, in those areas, in Cabo Delgado? Was there a large turnout?
Yeah, we had a considerable number of people voting, and all the parts were here doing the electoral campaign. If you could go out and speak with the youth, they could tell you, yes, I'm going to vote to Venazio. So these youths did try to change the things, but unfortunately, once again, the hands of the Mozambique Electoral Commission, teachers, Frelimo members, which were in the polling stations controlling the tables and so on. And people, some of them were even phoned with the ballots in their hands, which they were trying to put inside the ballot boxes. So all these end up undermining the choice which was made by the youth. And of course, as a consequence, is what we're having now, as I was telling you at the beginning, this demonstration where the government deployed in that place all the kind of security force, all the assault cars, helicopters was also there. Perhaps they could take all those things to Cap Delgado and try to curb the terrorism issue. Unfortunately, the way they are chasing innocent people, people which where they are fighting for the right for democracy in Mozambique or to have a better count.
And wanted you to expand more on what you had mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, which was the killing of one of the opposition persons as well as the lawyer a few days ago. And is there an increase in harassment of the opposition groups in the country? Has there been an increase before, during, and after the election against people who are perceived to be opposing the government?
Yes, this is a part of the process. In all the election, we see this kind of behavior of the government, people being threatened, chased, and so on. We end up having these two people which were gunned down. And according to the information, were people from the Mozambican Intervention Force or Unity Force, which end up gunned down these two citizens with 25 bullets, as I could follow it. So this is a permanent scenario when we talk about the electoral process in Mozambique, and I'm mainly doing this.
Again, that's Estacio Valoy. He is an investigative journalist at the Center for Investigative Journalism. He's based in Mozambique, and he was talking to us about the controversy surrounding the general election in Mozambique, which took place on October 9th. Also with me in the studio is Katia Stitt. She's the program director here at WPFW. And I think you have further news for us.
I want to have news for you, Mwiza, but I don't yet. But I do want to urge people to call. Again, you make all the difference. This station is your station. This is people-powered radio. And Africa Now is an important, really a critical listen every week that connects us to the African diaspora. Only $100 to go. The number to call, 800-222-9739. Or you can go online to WPFWFM.org. He's featured Estacio Valau, meaning Mwiza, today. He is an award-winning journalist out of Mozambique. He has reported on not only the elections, but the extractive mining, ruby mining that goes on there in Mozambique and other important issues surrounding Mozambique. And this is the information that we need to know about what's happening in the African world. So the number to call, 800-222-9739, $100 to go, 202-588-9739, or WPFWFM.org. I am confident Mwiza will get that last $100.
And also on Cash App, which is the $ WPFWFM, and indicate it's for Africa Now, and also include your phone number or email. And we really need the funds now in WPFW as we're in the process of moving to the location, that we need that for relocation funds, and also for just the regular programming to put on the air people from Mozambique that we have today, for instance, and other folks as well, my colleagues throughout the grid and all the work that they do. Just want to also let you know, after this is headline news, followed by Shanana Wuzain Alamin looking at issues in Middle East and Northern Africa, particularly focusing on the plight of Palestinians. And also after that will be Sophie's Parlor, the women's collective, longest running women's collective here in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. And after that is Human Rights and Justice, Nakichi Taifa, and Black Agenda Radio with Margaret Kimberly. And then at 7 is Eugenia Charles with Kombit Lakai. Eugenia Charles with Kombit Lakai, looking at issues in Haiti. I'm Mwiza Mutale, your host of Africa Now. The phone lines are still open up until 2 o'clock to support Africa Now. We are just $100 short. I know we can do it. All we need is sustainer members, $50 per month. That's it.
That's right. That'll do it. We can do it. And I know Mwiza is about to say goodbye, but just one more time, 800-222-9739, $100 to go. There is someone within the sound of our voices that can make that goal.
For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns with some brief news headlines. G7 countries have agreed to provide $50 billion in loans to Ukraine, backed by frozen Russian assets, the White House said today. The U.S. would provide $20 billion, while the remainder would be financed by the other G7 countries. A White House national security official said the U.S. loan is intended to be split between economic assistance and military aid, but that military aid requires congressional approval. Further details of the loan package are expected to be resolved during a G7 finance ministers meeting in Italy this week. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said today that the U.S. has evidence North Korea has sent troops to Russia to fight in the war in Ukraine. South Korean and Ukrainian officials had previously warned of the deployment. South Korea's spy chief said 3,000 North Korean troops are training in Russia, and Ukrainian President Zelensky said the troop deployment could total 10,000. Speaking from Tel Aviv, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said today that Israel needs to pursue a ceasefire in Gaza that creates, quote, an enduring strategic success. Blinken said Israel had achieved most of its objectives in Gaza and that the remaining priorities are to release hostages and end the war. The Associated Press cited officials in the U.S., Israel, and Egypt who said a proposal for a limited ceasefire and hostage release deal had been discussed in recent days. After meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu and other top Israeli officials yesterday, Blinken traveled to Saudi Arabia this morning to discuss ending the war in Gaza and finding a, quote, diplomatic resolution in Lebanon. Israeli strikes hit the coastal Lebanese city of Tyre today, and Hezbollah confirmed that a top official was killed. Hezbollah fired a barrage of rockets into Israel, prompting air raid sirens, but causing no apparent damage. In domestic news, striking Boeing workers are due to vote today on a tentative contract that could end the nearly 6-week strike that has cost the company financial and reputational harm. Boeing reported an over $6 billion loss in the third quarter of this year, and CEO Kelly Ortberg announced plans for a, quote, fundamental culture change in the company. The strike has halted production of Boeing's popular 737 MAX plane, as well as other models. The company announced layoffs earlier this month and a plan to raise $25 billion to avoid bankruptcy. The tentative contract being voted on today includes a 35% raise over 4 years, a $7,000 ratification bonus, and greater contributions to a 401k retirement plan. Boeing workers had demanded a 40% raise and the reinstatement of a defined benefit pension system. Reuters cited 2 senior union officials in Seattle who said they believed members would vote in favor of the deal. And Georgia's Supreme Court yesterday declined a Republican request to reinstate new ballot rules passed by a pro-Donald Trump majority of the state's election board. Last week, a lower court judge ruled the state election board didn't have the authority to adopt the new rules and declared them, quote, illegal, unconstitutional, and void. At issue were more than a half dozen new rules, including one that would have mandated the hand counting of ballots. Democrats and some voting rights groups had raised concerns that the rules could be used by allies of Trump to slow or deny certification of election results, or to cast doubt on results if the former president loses the presidential election to Vice President Kamala Harris. Weather in Washington, D.C. right now is 70 degrees and partly cloudy, In New York City, 72 degrees with fair skies. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns. Thanks for listening.